You're listening to the Chances Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, joined in the studio by Mike Lovell, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Summer's upon us. How's your summer going?
Oh, so far so good.
That's good. Campus a busy place, even though the summer continues?
You know, we have a lot of orientations, a lot of students and families coming to visit campus, and it's kind of nice, you know, to see these big groups coming through.
Yeah, yeah. I want to spend a good part of this program today really kind of talking about your tenure and the future of UWM. You're marking an important milestone currently, having been on campus now for 5 years, not all of those years as chancellor. We'll talk about that. But the recent announcement that Kevin Riley, the president of the University of Wisconsin System, was going to be leaving, your reaction to that?
Well, first, I would, you know, like to thank Kevin because he's been very supportive of the campus, particularly through the Milwaukee Initiative, you know, the $240 million in capital projects that he helped get through and really, you know, help our campus, you know, transform itself physically. And he's been very supportive of that, and he's been very supportive of me personally. And so I've appreciated the opportunity to work under him, and I certainly wish him all the best. He's going to be working for the ACE, the American Council on Education, in their leadership training program, and also I think he's also has a endowed chair or fallback position at Madison, so he'll be doing teaching and working with ACE. So I'm sure he'll be enjoying his new role.
You know, that's a very high profile job, and of course in recent years it's become an even more challenging job. What are the characteristics that, I mean, if the Regents asked you, what are the characteristics of the next leader? What do they have to have?
Well, I think when you think about the position itself, it is a very political position. You know, I think about, I often talk in my role, one of the challenges I have being an engineer at Chancellor University is, you know, managing the politics that I deal with and trying to get resources and protecting what we have on our campus. The role of a system president is even more so. They are really in, you know, the political arena all the time. And so people that go into those roles, you know, need to be very politically astute and have, you know, and be able to be strong enough to be able to secure the resources that I think we all need for higher ed.
Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, becoming more and more challenging as time has certainly gone on. And so I think it, where do those leaders typically come from? I mean, if you don't just look at Wisconsin, but if you look at assistant presidents elsewhere.
Well, it's interesting because I'm seeing more and more of, if you look across the country and where these leaders are coming from, they're coming from really two different areas. Some of them are coming from the political arena already, people that have, you know, been appointments and worked in other, you know, government agencies or not necessarily been politicians, but, you know, had been in that world, but also people from the private sector. Many times you're seeing people from the private sector coming in, you know, business leaders, you know, oftentimes CEOs, retired CEOs and other things are going to those positions. And so it's not – traditionally, it's not a typical path now for a faculty member, even though some do, you know, there are many that still do that. It's not as common as it used to be for a faculty member to rise up, you know, become a chancellor president, then become assistant president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this kind of relates back to your experiences here on campus. But you know, I've heard and I've read so many stories where a lot of people who maybe had been on an administrative track at one point or another are kind of reevaluating that, mm-hmm. given the fact that it's tougher to amass the kind of resources that you're talking about.
No, sure. And it is very true. And I think if you think about presidents of or chancellors of universities, where they're coming from, and again, many of them, you know, in the past, they were almost all traditional academics like myself. Mm-hmm. You're seeing many more people from industry coming in and taking over leadership roles of universities just because there's not a huge pool of candidates, you know, that, you know, academics that really want to go forward and take on the challenges that these positions have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I alluded to this at the top of the show, but August 1st, 2008, Mike Lovell showed up at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee campus as the dean of the College of Engineering and Applied Science. So what motivated you to, first of all, want to apply for the position, mm-hmm. much less accept that position?
Yeah. So it was interesting at the time. You know, I had always thought, you know, once I became an associate dean, I was associate dean for research, and I was able to maintain, I was able to teach and maintain my research program, but I was also in an administrative role and doing some things, going after some large research grants that I really enjoyed. And I had, my last year as associate dean, I'd gotten funding from the Department of Energy to start an energy institute, and I'd also gotten funding from the National Science Foundation to get an engineering research center. Two of the largest, there are two largest grants, largest DOE gave, largest NSF gave for my field, and I felt like I'd accomplished. I didn't have anything else I felt like I could accomplish in that role. And so it was a point where I thought, well, if I did want to be a dean, this would be a good time, because my daughter, my oldest daughter, was just going into eighth grade, and I agree that you really don't want to move your kids when they're in high school. It's really hard on the kids. And so it became, you know, I'd been recruited in the past, you know, to apply for dean's positions the previous several years, but this was the one that I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, this is the year. And so I got recruited here. I had a couple other opportunities as well, but this was by far the best fit for me, you know, to come here and to be the dean of the College of Engineering and Applied Science. And I never had any aspirations to be anything more than that, you know, to be honest with you, along my administrative track. And it just...
What was it about that fit with UWL that attracted you?
So there's a couple of things. The first was... Milwaukee was very attractive. You know, I think we've talked before in the past that this is the favorite place I've ever lived. The quality of life here is really high, and I recognized that when I came and interviewed. You know, the schools were good. You know, the campus is in a great part of the city. There's little commutes. There's a lot of things that, you know, the people are friendly. So there's lots of things that attracted me from a personal viewpoint and for my family, all the things that Milwaukee had to offer. But in terms of the job itself, the things that I had worked on in Pittsburgh was a lot of these, you know, university-industry partnerships, collaborations between universities. And I looked at Milwaukee, and I happened to be in Pittsburgh over a decade that it transformed itself. And I saw Milwaukee, and I often talked about how it was about 10 years behind Pittsburgh, but it had even more potential. In particular, when I look at the fact that there's 1,300 engineering firms here, it's still one of the manufacturing centers of the country. So as an engineer, thinking of a place, boy, to be able to come in and be able to make an impact with the things that I'd done in the past, I could do the same things and really try to build something special here in Milwaukee to help the city transform itself was very appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. So you're a faculty member, you're an associate dean, you're writing and accepting wonderful grants that help your work. You move into the dean role, and it's a much different role, and people on the outside may not truly understand what a dean does, but you're the academic leader, you're the cheerleader, you're the fundraiser, you're the political whatever. It's a different role, I'm sure, than what you experienced back in Pittsburgh.
Yes, and so the biggest difference between my former position and becoming dean when I came here is just the fact that, you know, the scope of what you're working on becomes, you know, much greater in terms of, you know, you are then the primary fundraiser. You're the one, you know, the academic leader defining kind of the academic direction of the school or college, and actually leading the faculty. But it was I felt pretty well prepared, you know, for that when I came on board. I had a great mentor when I was in Pittsburgh that I learned a tremendous amount from. And again, there's just so much potential at UWM. You know, it's a great university. We have great faculty members there, and it just was just a matter of also the fact that when I did come here, you know, I did get a lot of resources. You know,
I want to talk about that, because that was perhaps, I think you might set a record for in your first year having the opportunity to hire 22 new faculty.
Yeah, and that was just fabulous. And if you think about what happened that year in 2008 with the economic downturn, it was a perfect storm for UWM in terms of, you know, what we were able to accomplish in the College of Engineering and Applied Science, because every other university in the country, or almost every other major university in the country, did a hiring freeze just because the economic downturn. But the state had already allocated the money, you know, for the new positions, and so before the downturn hit, we had the advertisements out, we had the funds available, and so. I've said this before, we brought 97 people to campus, and there was only about a half dozen of them that I wasn't going to be really excited about having on the campus. It was great because we had the best people in the country applying to come to UWM because we were the, you know, they were the main game in, mm-hmm. in the country.
So you managed to kind of reshape the college. You not only were able to hire faculty, but you brought a lot of new dollars to campus. You ramped up spending for research, and you formed a lot of other kind of partnerships as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, and so that this goes back to you know, kind of some of my background, what I enjoy and like to do. You know, things like we launched the Wisconsin Energy Research Consortium, and it was the first time Marquette, MSOE, and UWM ever worked together on any significant initiative in the past. And, you know, that I'm very proud of that. We just had a recent board meeting, and we started with 8 members, you know, back in 2009. Well, now we're up to 52. You know, it's just – it's amazing to see. And we're now in 8 states. So it's – and actually we just changed the name to be the Midwest Energy Research Consortium because it's an 8-state consortium. And so, you know, it's been great to see that. But also things like the Institute for Industrial Innovation that we launched, you know, again, that's, you know, really, you know, that's taken off and created a great bridge between industry and students doing projects and creating new products, you know, within the region. And really that was one of the things that was the, you know, preempted the Student Startup Challenge. That's kind of where the students are now working, the Student Startup Challenge and that kind of coursework. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been, you know, certainly, you know, I really enjoyed my time as the dean of the College of Engineering.
Mm-hmm. You know. Is it hard for you? I mean, because now you've moved on first as interim chancellor and then chancellor of the university. I mean, you got to feel somewhat protective of everything that's going on
yeah.
in your home school.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It, the thing that you know, that I worry about the most is we've lost a couple of those new hires that I made, you know, and, you know, those were, you know, really hard for me to, you know, to mm-hmm. have leave UWM. They've had great opportunities, the ones that have left, but it's, you know, it's been hard because they were really talented individuals.
Mm-hmm. So just about 2 years after you became dean and accomplished a lot during that tenure, you had the opportunity in 2010 to become interim chancellor of UWM. Reflect upon that. You were obviously extremely successful as the dean of a college and probably could have been doing that job for a really long time. But you raised your hand, presumably, and you became interim chancellor.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily raise my hand. I actually was, it was very interesting because when Carlos Santiago stepped down, you know, my biggest concern was, you know, we had a lot of capital projects that had not been gone through the DOA and the Building Commission, or were approved by the Board of Regents. You know, they were. I talked about they were all boulders about 3/4 of the way up the hill. We're talking about, you know, the School of Public Health, School of Freshwater Science, you know, the Kenwood IRC and Innovation Campus. You know, those projects had not had final approvals yet, and you know. What happened in 2008 with the election, you know, the administration was changing. So when I was actually very surprised when I was contacted by Kevin Riley, you know, I'd only been in Milwaukee for 2 years, only been a dean 2 years, to be contacted about, you know, talking to him about becoming the interim chancellor. I certainly didn't expect to hear that from him, you know, because he and I had certainly never met, you know, we didn't know each other. And so when I did get the call, the reason why I, be totally honest, the reason why I agreed to do it was just because we had all these important projects, the future of the campus, that could be in jeopardy if somebody came in and didn't, you know, push them along. You know, I was involved in many, almost all the major projects, and so I was intimately familiar of where they were and where they needed to go. And so I just decided to step in because, you know, my full effort, my first, you know, 3 or 4 months on the job was getting those projects through all their approvals, including the purchase of Columbia St. Mary's, mm-hmm. you know, but by the end of 2008, before 2009.
I want to talk about some of those accomplishments, but I can't help but ask. I mean, when your administrative assistant or somebody said to you, Kevin Riley's on the phone for you, what did you think?
Well, I was very surprised when he called and asked me to come to Madison to come talk to him about the position. And so, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I really did it just, you know, solely out of the fact that I thought, you know, I thought it would be, you know, best for campus. Not that I was aspiring to be the chancellor, just because I thought that, you know, maybe I was the best person to make sure we got these projects through.
Mm-hmm. You know, interim chancellors, I mean, with all due respect, aren't necessarily meant to come in and shepherd a lot of projects through mm-hmm. and start new initiatives. You kind of were thrust into some of those, but you had a very successful year, or approximately a year, to accomplish, as you said, Columbia, St. Mary's, a lot of those kind of projects kind of all kind of came to fruition during the interim guy's tenure.
Yeah, and the one thing I did say to Kevin that that when I did take over the role, that I wasn't coming in to just keep the seat warm. You know, the campus was, and it's still moving forward, and it was an exciting time, and I didn't want us, our campus, to lose momentum, and so I was going to continue to push those projects through.
Mm-hmm. And some big projects that they were, and obviously you've continued to bring dollars to the campus. I know fundraising is extremely important. You pushed forward the strategic planning process. Did you feel like, you know, at some point, like, okay, I'm ready to take the next step, or what was that like?
Well, it was, again, it was a very interesting set of circumstances happened. You know, if you think back in 2009, when Governor Walker first took over, he and Biddy Martin announced that Madison was going to split out of the system, or that they were planning on starting that process. And so it, within the system and on the campuses, you know, there was so much uncertainty. You know, and, you know, what I remember talking to my family, you know, we talked about how the first 4 months were, how bad it was, you know, with the change of the lifestyle, because it was a whole change of lifestyle for my family, mm-hmm. Because of the time commitments. You know, you talk about change of scope. We talked about going from associate dean to dean. Well, going from dean to chancellor, suddenly it's everything, you know, and so my time commitments were pretty significant. And the reason why we had the discussion was because, again, I was afraid with all the uncertainty with the system and if Madison split out, where did that leave Milwaukee? Or going to be left the comprehensives? What did it all mean? And I thought, well, you know, maybe if somebody came in and didn't know the lay of the land, you know, UWM could be left in a pretty, you know, place that wouldn't be real good for their future. And so the reason why I decided to put my name in full time was just because of the fact that, you know, again, I was worried about the future of UWM. And, you know, with all the political things that were happening, you know, what might have happened. And I still believe that, you know, I think that UWM played an important role in keeping the system together. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I'm not sure if because the announcement was, well, Madison was split off first and UWM, the governor used the term that UWM was in the batter's box and we would be next. But I didn't really understand what that meant. You know, and I was afraid we were going to be left in a state of limbo. Mm-hmm. And so we were just, you know, so I decided, well, you know, I'll step into the role. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we did, you know, I think as collectively we decided, you know, as from system institutions, it would be best that we stayed together.
Mm-hmm. What was the expectation that the regents that the system president had for you when you first took that job in May of 2011?
Well, I think that, again, I think that they were very, they looked at Milwaukee, and they still do, as really the campus that is, you know, going through growth and is going to be a major contributor to the future of the state, both in terms of the graduates we're producing, but also the technology and economic development that we're partnering with, you know, many people in the region to help move things forward. And they just wanted to see us continue along that path. You know, when you think now, especially when I think about what the regents are looking at UWM to do, there really is a lot of, you know, economic development type focus. One thing that I talk about, we really are important is social innovation for our campus, you know, really helping, you know, socially, you know, Milwaukee move forward, whether it's K through 12 education or whether it's, you know, helping with public health and many of the things that ail the city in terms of the cost of healthcare, we can help prevent them, to helping move the city and region forward around water. You know, I just was in a discussion earlier this morning, you know, we're going to be launching the Global Water Center as a city on September 12th. And we're expecting to have about upwards of 1,000 people at that celebration. Wondering where we're going to put them all, but people from all over the country have indicated they're going to be coming in for this. It's really a big deal. So
it's not just Harley.
You've got a whole
new thing going.
Yeah. So no, it's exciting. So, but those types of activities, I really think that the regents, you know, are looking at us to continue along those paths.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned a few of the things that you've been involved in and still want to do. But as you look past in the last, you know, two-ish years that you've been the chancellor and maybe the interim period as well, I mean, when you sit back in your chair at night, what are you most proud of?
Well, I think, again, I think that getting the two new schools launched and going and having the construction projects in the buildings, you know, for both of those two new schools, but also You look at Innovation Campus today, and, you know, as we talked before, I got to lay the last beam of the first building up out there. If you drive by there today, there is so much construction going on there. We have, I think I was talking to Dave Gilbert yesterday, and he said there's only four sites left on the campus. You know, it's almost full, you know, and you know, again, you know, when I took over, you know, 3 years ago, it was, we weren't even sure Innovation Campus was going to be a reality. And now it's not just a reality, but, you know, it's going to be filled up pretty quick. And so.
So when you took over as dean, you hired a lot of new faculty, but even in your tenure as chancellor, you've hired a lot of new deans, which are very important. And when you're hiring deans, I mean, what are you looking for in them as you think about the future of the university?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of important qualities that you look for, you know, when you choose leadership. But I think the most important, you know, quality that I look for is, you know, I'm always looking for people that are coming to Milwaukee because they want to make an impact. You know, I'm a believer in servant leadership, so I look at people that want to come in, you know, and serve the campus, you know, serve the individuals within their school or college and serve the university, you know, and really do it in a way that, you know, they're coming here because they feel like they can make a difference, you know, and not just because they want to be a dean. You know, that's not why we hire, you know, I don't look for people like that. And so, you know, when you look at some of the people we've brought in, you know, I'm very proud of the fact, you know, that we were able to attract, you know, people from not all over the country, but over the world. You know, look at David Garman, came from Australia, you know, to be dean here. And we, you know, we're very proud of the fact that, you know, we have been able to attract some great deans.
So as you're looking now into the next year or two down the road, or throughout your tenure as chancellor, what are some of the priorities? What are the things that you're thinking about?
Well, I think, you know, again, this is a very important time for UWM, and we've talked before about higher ed is changing, you know, and so one of the things that's very important for us is to make sure that we're going to be relevant. And so, you know, we're going through academic and strategic planning right now. And I think that those priorities are really going to help us define, you know, where we're going to go as a campus. You know, obviously, you know, I'm not going to predefine exactly what those are going to be, because I think I want, you know, this to be as much of a ground, you know, coming from the ground up as it is from the top down. But I think of things like, you know, where we're going to be growing. We've talked before in the past. I think that one of the just listing some of the things, we're going to be internationalizing campus. You know, we talked about getting to 3,000 international students on our campus, you know, more out-of-state students. So looking at the population that we're serving on the campus, we're still going to serve the residents of the state of Wisconsin, but I think we're going to be bringing more out-of-state international students. That's really a direction that we're going. I think that's in the best interest, you know, of our campus. We're going to continue expanding our research. You know, you think about the research growth we've gone over in the last decade, we've doubled. You know, we really want to double over the next, you know, 10 years as well. You know, those are very important. And finally, you know, the other thing is, you know, we're moving into a campaign, and you know hitting new bar, you know, raising the bar on, you know, fundraising, and, you know, hitting heights we've never hit before in terms of the amount of money raised on campus. You know, particularly, you know, as we've talked before about providing more scholarship for students, because we still want to be that access university, and so we want to make sure we're providing opportunities for anyone from any walk of life to come to our campus and be successful.
We really couldn't do an entire show without talking about the budget and money and all those things. But it is part of the discussion, because as part of the strategic planning and new initiatives and that you've talked about, I mean, yes, you can say, well, we're going to ramp up our fundraising. But you know, are you concerned about, you know, if federal funding or if state funding doesn't increase, or if it erodes even further, what impact that will have on the strategic future?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big concern. You know, we worry about, you know, we're trying to diversify our revenue streams because we're worried about the funding the state was going to give us. And so if we continue to get cut back by the state and we want to be the university that I believe we can be, we need to have new revenue streams. And so, you know, it's a balance that we have, particularly when, you know, still our biggest revenue stream is still tuition. And then when you cap the tuition, you know, which, again, you know, I'm a realist and understand that, you know, that we need to make sure college is affordable for everybody. But if the state keeps cutting back the funding and we don't have, you know, tuition to help it make up for the cuts we're taking, you know, where is that money going to come from to help us still operate? And so, you know, one of my challenges, you know, obviously fundraising is one thing, you know, bringing in students from you know, out of state or out of the country, you know, that's more tuition for us. Partnerships, you know, that's the other thing is, you know, how can we become more efficient and create new opportunities through partnerships? Those are things that we really have to look at and try to create those funding streams. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I do believe that we will, the state will at some point, you know, I look at other parts of the country and I look at California, for example, they are reinvesting, you know, in higher education. I'm hoping that Wisconsin, you know, the trend will turn in the next year or two so that we will at least, you know, have some kind of influx of new dollars.
Mm-hmm. You know, absent that, you'll still probably be able to go out and form these partnerships with corporations for research. You'll probably be able to develop more funding opportunities with the National Science Foundation, whomever else. But what is it? But what is the future of, you know, the way a lot of people used to look at universities, the old standard, you know, liberal arts education? How do you fund the comparative literature program and all those other programs that aren't going to be the ones that are going to be generating the huge grants and the huge collaborative efforts?
Well, and I'm a firm believer that, and we've talked about this before, that the reason why the U.S. higher educational system is still the crown jewel in the world is because we have such a strong liberal arts education. And I just met with a CEO of a major organization here in Milwaukee. And at the end of the meeting, I said, well, you know, we're trying to align our academic programs with what your needs are, you know, and because we want students to graduate with skills to help them be relevant so they can get a job. And then when they do start working for the companies here, they hit the ground running. And the person said, well, the most important skills they need now are really their, you know, their critical thinking and their ability to communicate both written and orally. And I think to myself, you know, those are liberal arts areas. Mm-hmm. And those are the things liberal arts education teaches you. So the CEO of this major organization, which, you know, I won't say what it is, but it was a technical organization, he wasn't talking about we need, you know, better scientists, you know, or better science or better engineers. It was those other skills that you learn in the liberal arts. And so, you know, I think that that is something that, you know, even though maybe we can't get funding, direct funding for research and other things in those areas, those are still some of the most – that is what defines what education is in the U.S., you know, why we're different and why we're better than other parts of the world. And as a matter of fact, I think we talked a month or so ago when we had the Kikkoman gift was announced, and they had a summit, economic summit, and the chief economist, the head economist in Japan, the most foremost economist, gave a talk. And he even said that for Japan's economy to move forward, it's been stagnant for about 20 years, they need to refocus their education on liberal arts rather than just in these technical tracks, you know, that they're in now. And so that was very, you know, that was very telling to me that someone from another part of the world recognized that, you know, they needed to be more like us.
Mm-hmm. We're out of time. I want to thank you for your reflective nature today, thinking back on your stay here in Milwaukee. We look forward to many more good conversations ahead.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave.
Mike Lovell, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been our guest here on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.